Let's do the intro. Welcome to the March edition of Boomer and the Millennial. We wish you a very happy Resurrection Weekend, more commonly known as Easter. And let's not forget, it's Women's History Month. So let's celebrate the incredible contributions of women throughout history.
That's right, Armandi, and your Aunt Regina, a top producer and writer in Hollywood, joins us this month to talk about her journey and the new episodes of her show, The Upshaws, on Netflix as we celebrate Women's History Month.
Yeah, and how about those brackets? How are those brackets looking? You know, it's March Madness. We're talking March Madness, spring football, baseball's opening day, and of course, a Formula One update during our sports segment.
And in our entertainment segment, we're going to dive into the heart-pounding season finale of Love is Blind.
Oh, boy.
But that's not all, folks. You know, I had a chance encounter with one of the lovely ladies from The Golden Bachelor. Believe it or not, right here in Atlanta, I'm going to tell you about what happened with meeting Sandra from The Golden Bachelor.
Yeah, that was your show. And all of that and more on the March edition of Boomer and the Millennial. So let's get it started.
I'm Reggie the Boomer.
There you go. And I'm Armandi the Millennial. And you know we are back at it like a crack addict.
No.
Happy Women's History Month.
Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Easter Weekend.
That's facts. That's facts. That's really
and
what it's about. Yep.
Happy St. Patrick's Day this month, right? I didn't really celebrate much, but you know.
Apparently there was a parade here, so.
Oh, yeah. And then, well, you know, Savannah has the largest, one of the largest, well, they say it's the largest St. Patrick's Day parade in the country, but I don't know. I think people in New York may want
to
challenge that. Yeah, or Chicago.
Yeah, where they turn the river green. That's pretty cool.
Well, they do that in Savannah, too. You know, they turn the Savannah River green. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And this year they were illuminating buildings. Green.
Yeah.
It was a whole green thing going on.
Yeah, they
even
did
the bridge
downtown here a little bit
was
too.
Green. So it was pretty cool. But I will say, I have memories of St. Patrick's Day and the parade growing up in Savannah, marching in the Johnson High Atom Smasher Band. And man, let me tell you something. You march, first of all, the parade route is like 5 miles. I mean, you're going forever because it's a long, big parade.
Uh-huh.
And you turn down what's called Bay Street, which is the street before you get to the riverfront.
Okay.
And it's a 4-lane street and it's like mayhem. I mean, the band literally disappears. People are marching with you. They're giving you beer. And so by the time you turn the corner away from Bay Street going down, I think MLK, you're like, oh, you kind of toasted. It's like one big party.
That's
anyway,
crazy.
That's my memory of St. Patrick's Day in Savannah.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day for all those who celebrated. So
I guess we'll be seeing you soon.
Yeah. We're very excited, actually. Very excited.
Yeah.
You guys are coming to visit along with Aunt Regina. And
yeah,
this is not your first time. This won't be your first time in Denver, though, right?
No. You know, it's interesting because we flew down to Tampa last week to go to the Reggae Rise Up. Got to see Lupe Fiasco in person. It was so cool, along with Steven and Damian Marley.
Okay.
They were one of the headliners on Sunday.
Damian Marley's coming here in June, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we may have to, you know, check that out.
Listen.
Coming back, I was in line with a pilot from Frontier. He flew with Frontier. He lived in Denver a long time ago. And I was telling him last time I went to Denver, man, it was like, you come into Denver. I said, why is it about the thunderstorm? Why are these dark clouds hanging over Denver? But it was pollution. Because, you know, Denver's kind of in a valley, right? And he was saying that how, you know, that's all cleaned up now.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's the one thing I remember about flying in the Denver. Of course, all the mountains. But then it was just really just dark haze.
That's interesting.
That was over the city.
I think
30
like,
years ago.
I think
40
like,
years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely gone. Because, I mean, Denver's a decently clean city, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is now.
But I mean, there are still some factories that are here, and some like major factories that are here, and in those areas, sometimes you'll see some dark clouds, but not really.
Over the whole city.
Yeah, like, no, yeah. not yeah. like that, not like yeah. that. We don't have a haze like Los Angeles. So.
No, you have another kind of haze.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no. Yeah, you, that was good. That was,
Thank you.
You're not
haze.
Lying about that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Y'all talking about going to a reggae festival.
Ooh, man, yeah. Let me tell you. I had to hold my breath. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh,
your
man.
Mom said she'd never smelled so many different strains of weed in her life. I mean,
that's so
It was just one big cloud. I bet you people, you know, like drones and people flying over. All you can see is just one big cloud over the whole concert, hilarious. Over the whole park. It was, but it was our your mom and I, it was our anniversary of meeting. So we went back to Tampa to celebrate. Just so happens that that concert was happening right next to the hotel where I did some work doing a marketing video, the Vanoy Resort, which is a historic hotel.
And I've heard this story numerous times.
Well, I know. Well, we got pictures of you like 3 years old hanging out by the pool. And so the concert was right next to the hotel in the Vanoy Park. So that was pretty cool. I mean, you know, it all kind of came together. We stayed close enough to walk, and it was a great hotel we were staying in, a boutique hotel, the Hollander, and a whole lot of concert goers were staying there. So it was a pretty eclectic group of people, but it was cool. It was really nice. Enjoyed it. Had a lot of fun. Tweaked my back though. Oh my goodness. Great.
Listen, no, you're talking, oh. Look, you, let me tell you something. My lower back has been tight. It has only gotten worse over the past couple of days. I thought it was my kidneys at one point. I was like, but I think it's the muscles in my lower back.
Yeah, well, you are lifting weight and everything.
Yeah,
so
and they are. I'm gonna soak in the tub this evening. I am sore.
Yeah, mine. I think it was. I was carrying my backpack and carrying your mom's backpack, and we had to walk about half a mile, quarter. Yeah. 0.7 miles to the concert, but we didn't carry the backpacks to the concert because you couldn't really do that. But you know, carrying around the airport and everything, and I got back and I had to see the doctor, and doc gave me, you know, said it it was probably something I tweaked and put some heat on it.
You gonna be all right?
You know, oh yeah, I'm fine now.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm much better.
Are you trying to? Are you gonna be able to go tubing if that's what we do?
You know what? With back or no back, I don't think I was going tubing.
Oh, okay. So. Well. We'll see if we still do that.
I may still do it. Well, I think that's something your mom really wants to do.
I mean, I'm down.
So let's make
Nia's
it happen. Nia's
kind of impartial. She's I think she's like leaning more towards, you know.
Well, she doesn't have to too, but she can go. We all.
Yeah.
We're all gonna.
But I mean, I feel like if she goes, like she'll tube. So.
Yeah. Well, we're excited. Like I said, I talked to the pilot, and we talked to. He said he really liked Denver. We met some people in Tampa that was at the concert that were from Denver. Your mom talked to them. They just got out before that big snowstorm he had last week. So,
Speaking of which, it's going to snow
again
tonight, which is great. But I'm so happy because I was really like, man, the snow is not going to be fresh enough.
I know.
It's not going to be fresh enough for y'all to really see.
It's going
to
be gone. It's going to be other than on the mountains because I've been.
Well, yeah, we don't want it here. We don't want it where we're at. We want, but to see it on the mountains, it's like after a fresh snow, like, you know what I mean? It takes longer to melt and stuff. Yeah. I was like, it would have been a whole week. You know what I mean? So, but that's been the MO. It's been like sunny. It's been like in the 60s. And then today it's like, it's supposed to snow. So. I don't know. This may be the last bit of it, though, to be honest.
Yeah. So what else we got here? Oh, yeah. Just real quickly, I think we may need to rename our show the Xennial and the Millennial instead of Boomer. It's a new term for those boomers who were born in the time frame, you know, because you got some older boomers, right, who are in their 70s and then you got
the 1800s. Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, right. You know, we were out there with rocks and stones going out to Tyrannosauruses and
right,
stuff.
Right, exactly.
But you do have a group of boomers who are, like myself, in their 60s, who really experience a revolution in technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were the only generation to not have a computer, but become computer efficient. We were the only... That group of boomers, right?
Right.
We were the only ones that started out with 45 records to evolve to streaming music. I mean, we lived that. I mean,
wow.
we've experienced
trailblazers doing it all. You know,
hey,
love that.
We were the only ones that did punch cards in order to program computers. But now that same amount of computing that was in a big giant room is literally in our phone. So, you know, and phones, let's talk about rotary phones, TV sets with only 13 channels. Well, that only went up to 13. You only had like 6 channels. All of that to where we think about to where we are now. We
HBO
experienced
Max.
It. Yeah, we experienced it. I remember when HBO first came out, we were like, oh, this is crazy. You can watch all kind of stuff on here. And oh my goodness. But you had to pay a premium, obviously. But no streaming, no internet, no computer, no PCs. I mean, we lived through all of that. But it's not just living. We had to experience it and we had to learn it, understand it, and use it. So we're the only group, the Xennials, that have experienced that kind of change. So just FYI. So we need to be Xennial and a millennial.
Okay.
All right. So I'm all a right, boomer well, slash Xennial. I'm a boomer Xennial. I know. I can see you're excited about that.
I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
And it is true. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, you've been pretty tech savvy for as long as I've known you.
Yeah, I mean, I set up this.
You really
this Riverside whole thing that we're doing now. Remote.
Yeah, I know. You really try to stay. You really try to stay hip with what's going on. So you know.
Yeah. So
sometimes I don't even have to try to tell you. You just already know things, and I'm like,
I try to stay relevant because,
okay,
according to that great philosopher Howie Mandel, don't get left in a decade. There's some people who give up in the 90s of trying to stay current, and so you could tell. They're living in the 90s. They dress like the 90s. They talk like the 90s. He says, look, I am going to keep going as long as I can go. But at a certain point, as you get older, you just say, you know what? I'm done. This is all I know. This is all I'm going to know. I'm not going to keep up. Mm-hmm. Whatever the new technology is, I'm through. So
gotcha.
I'm just trying to stay relevant.
And you are.
A relevant boomer.
You're doing a great job.
Congratulations. To your wife, Nia, for her new game,
Known.
It's been
card game,
produced and shipped out.
Listen, if you supported the Kickstarter, look, you've already gotten it. You've already gotten it, or it's on the way. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. Winston is excited.
Yeah,
he's excited about his
mom's game, and
you
know, he's been with us during the whole process, and. You know, as far as getting the physical games and packaging them up and, you know, had to figure out the postal stuff and we got our own label maker. Listen, we got a whole assembly line situation going.
I thought it would be a good idea maybe to play the game. I mean, just some of the low-level questions. A couple of the low-level questions.
I got you.
And so people can get a feel for and how can they get the game now?
Yeah,
I mean, I had this Kickstarter link on the website, but I think now that the Kickstarter is over, how can you get the game?
Right. That is a excellent question. If you want to buy the physical version of the game, you go to knowncardgame, all one word, .com.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. Knowncardgame.com. If you go on there, you will also see that it is available on the iOS App Store. So if you have an iPhone, an Apple product, an iPad, you can go to the App Store and type in Known Card Game, or it might be Known Question Game, or you can type in Nia Stokes Hicks, which is my wife's name, and you will find the app. So you can buy the physical version on the website, and you can buy the app on the App Store, on the Apple App Store, and I think we're working on getting it on the Google Play Store. So that's just been a little bit of a harder process, but it might be on there. I'm not entirely sure, so don't quote me on it, but all the information is on knowncardgame.com.
cool. Well, you want to how's this work?
Play?
Got a question?
I have it on my phone, so I can just that'll make it a little easier, so I don't have to pull out the physical version. But we could do the low level, you know. And for those of you who don't know, Known is a question game that invokes stories and deeper connections. And there's three
levels, right?
There's three phases, three levels, and the questions get deeper with each phase or level. We'll do phase one.
Okay, just a, you know, just a couple.
Yeah, yeah. What's your favorite book and why?
Well, outside of the Bible, for obvious reasons, I think, and I'm reading it from cover to cover, kiver to kiver, as they say.
Yeah.
This year, that's probably my favorite. And outside of that, I think There Is a River, by Brother Harding. I forget his first name because I didn't take Prevagen today.
Yikes.
Vincent Harding is his name.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
You know, it goes back from slavery, pre-slavery, all the way up to after the Civil War. And it is a, it is an eye-opening read. You know, I of course, we and I have talked about it. I've been reading it forever.
Yeah, it took you a minute.
It took me a minute. I did finish it, but I want to go back through it and read it again and take some notes and do some highlighting, which I think this summer that's going to be my read again.
Yeah.
Okay, it is well worth that. Yeah. What about you?
A specific book would be tough. My favorite book series is Lemony Snicket, A Series of Unfortunate Events. I just always liked that as a kid. I think that was sort of my first introduction to a really good book or series or story, like collection of stories where I was like, oh, I want to make something as good as this. I want to write something as good as this. And
Oh, I remember you really.
Yeah, it's still my favorite book series to this day. Cool. But yeah, that's probably what I would say.
Okay.
Let's see. Sorry.
Let's do one more since we got Regina waiting by.
Okay.
You know, standing by.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
And we could do this on subsequent. I mean, it's kind of like Boomer and Millennial game. We can do this
on
subsequent shows.
What's the worst purchase you've ever made?
Oh, that's easy. I can tell you. It was a Triumph Spitfire car. Yeah. Convertible. it was lime green, but it was a lemon. It put me down. It was just a bad purchase.
Yeah.
That ended up when I sold it, it was so funny because when I sold it, I didn't have a car. I mean, I had a car that was coming that I ordered, you know, a new car, but I sold it. Somebody came by because they work on these cars. He came by, picked it up. I think I got to like $1,300 bucks for it. I was just so, it was paid for. I was so glad it was done.
Yeah.
And he drove it from work. I mean, he came by and picked it up and he drove it off the parking, out of the parking lot. And as he was driving away, I was like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you so much to get rid of this car. I can't tell you how the years of just frustration. And then I looked around and I realized I did not have a way to get home. So it's to ride the bus home and walk. But I did not care.
Just got rid of the car.
Oh, man, it was. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. I can see why Known is such a great game because, man, that just. Anyway.
Yeah, that's what it's meant to do. Yeah, knowncardgame.com. Go get yours today.
Yeah. So what about you? What's your?
I don't know.
Live long enough, you'll have one.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure I've had a couple, but not like anything too serious.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you got to think about it, huh?
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah. Well, we'll get back to it, but you know mine, and I stand by it. A lot of stories around that car, and the years I had paying on it when it didn't run and stuff like that. But anyway. So that's great. So we'll have to do that again on the show. And folks, you can become a part of the Known family by going to, is it Known Card Game?
Yeah, knowncardgame.com.
Okay.
And we'll put the link on the website.
Yes. So that you can purchase yours. You can download it on the Apple Store, right? And working on Google Play. So we are celebrating Women's History Month, and we thought, what a wonderful opportunity as we honor women who are doing great things
this month.
And of course, we have one that's part of the family, and that's my sister your aunt, Regina Hicks, who is the executive producer and also one of the principal writers for and showrunner for the Upshaws on Netflix. And they have a new, they're not called seasons. I'm going to have to ask her about that, but it's kind of like they're parts, right? You worked on the show.
It's different. It's not like full, it's not called seasons anymore. It's weird, but yes, but continue.
They have new episodes coming out soon. And we're going to talk to Regina about that. But also, you know, Armand, I thought it'd be good to hear her story about how she got started. She has so many credits to her, what is it, IMDb or whatever
that thing is. There you go. Mm-hmm.
I got it right. I can't believe it. But Camp Rock is one of them.
One and two, Jump In.
The Disney.
Sister.
Girlfriends. Yeah.
Yeah. Instant Mom.
Yes. She did also Insecure. She worked on Insecure. Yep.
The L Word.
The L Word she was on.
Yeah, it's so many. The Upshaws.
Yeah.
Drumline, a new beat.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Matter of fact, you had a character.
Named after me. I have a cameo.
Yeah, that was originally the first one was Nick Cannon. Drumline.
Right.
And this was like Drumline 2.
The newbie. Right? Yeah, starring Alexandria Shipp.
Yeah, and it was filmed right here in Atlanta again. Yeah. The first one was filmed here.
Yeah, at Clark Atlanta University.
Yeah.
It's so the very first thing I ever worked on. I was interning. Yeah.
That's right. As a matter of fact, you were on the bus or the transpo, right? And they were like, "Where's Armandi?" And they were talking about you, but they thought that they were talking about the character.
Oh,
it was also named Armand.
It was a little confusing at times. Yes.
Yeah, but that's kind of cool. So, but anyway, we want to bring Regina on now and just kind of talk to her about all the wonderful things she's done and what she's doing now and what she's got coming up in the future.
Sounds good.
So, Regina, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
We have you on as our guest in honor of Women's History Month.
Let's talk you, Regina. New season / part of the Upshaws is coming out soon, but if I'm not mistaken, like how we feeling about that? Also, we were talking because my dad was like, it's weird that it's not seasons anymore. It's parts. Is there a reason? Do you know why?
Probably so they don't have to pay us. I don't know. If it's a part, it ain't a season.
Right. So they can partly pay you.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's technically part of the third season, even though it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's really kind of confusing.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's six episodes in this next part.
Okay, nice.
And we're presently shooting season 4 or part, I don't know, 6.
Yeah.
that'll have 10 episodes.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So the 6 episodes, when are they? They come out next month?
April 18th, I believe.
Hey, come on.
There we go.
Right before 420.
Yeah, right before 420.
Shout out Mike.
Which is apropos for you.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's the big weed day, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get in the mix.
Such a square. Oh, yeah, the big weed day, right? Yeah. Well, we're excited. Yes. You know, we love the show. So
I know it almost killed your father.
Yeah.
I know, right? Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. You know, because I was recovering from COVID. And, you know, I could barely like breathe. And I made the mistake of watching the show. And man, I was laughing so hard I couldn't catch my breath. It's like, I'm going to die, right? Because I couldn't cough. I was trying to cough. I was trying to laugh. I was trying to breathe.
That's so funny. I do remember that.
Oh, man, that one scene. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Right. I was quarantined. You guys were down in Jamaica watching it. And so we were kind of watching it together.
Yeah.
So I was a little behind, but man, you know, so I was trying to keep up.
Yeah, it was good. We did like a whole marathon.
Oh, yeah.
His parents were there and it was nice. Yeah.
Yeah. We watched all six.
Yep.
And I watched it virtually.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but yeah, I was like, and nobody was here to help me, right?
Yeah, right. We were all in paradise.
Right.
And you're trying to stay alive.
Right. And Anita was like, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm safe. I'm good. You know, I'll see you in about 10 days.
Right.
Even Eddie wasn't here. Eddie was at the sitter. So I was just here by myself. And I was like, oh, I can't watch this thing. It's got, they need to put a warning on it, you know? Like they do on cigarettes. It was
right.
If you don't have your full lung capacity, do not tune into the
RVS. Right, exactly. Yeah. You got to get that RVS shot or whatever it is. I don't know. Yeah. One of the shots the old people get.
Right.
I do want to know. So this is, well, how many years now? This is going kind of like your fourth year working on the show, third year? Or has it been 4 years?
I think it's, well, it's been 4 years because we technically started 2019, the end of 2019.
Right.
Wow.
And then there was a pause. We got halfway, we got almost halfway through in 2020. We had to stop for the, for COVID.
Yeah. Because it got a COVID factor.
We finished at the end of 2020. We finished that season. Then we went through 2021 and then 2022. In 2023, we had to stop for the strike.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then we finished at the end of 2023. So yeah, it's been 4 years.
Yeah. How's it been working with, you know, we got two well-known comedians and Wanda Sykes, of course, Mike Epps. And I always think about this and I don't know how she feels about being called Tootie from the Facts of Life, but I just remember your being such a fan of that show. I mean, I just remember you loved that show and, you know, and now here you are like, you know, I'm essentially like Tootie is your supervisor. I mean, if you're the showrunner, right? It's like with Kim Fields. So how is it just, you know, with that mix of people?
You know, meeting Wanda and Mike first, I mean, it was, you know, because I had seen Wanda Sykes around, but I didn't know her. I'd taken a picture with her once at the Emmys.
Did she remember that?
I don't think so.
Right.
And Mike I'd never met, but I knew him from, you know, Fridays and stuff like, you know, Next Friday and stuff like that. So it was just kind of at first it was like a collaborative thing because we were trying to, you know, figure out, especially Wanda and I trying to figure out what all the show could be. And then casting Kim as Regina, I remember them saying the character's name was already Regina.
Oh, wow. Oh, really? You didn't... Yeah.
No, and they were like, should we change it? And I was like, no, it's always been Regina. We should keep it. So
okay.
But I came up with the last name, the Upshaws. It was something else. And the network didn't want to go with the other. So we were trying to find the name of the show, like the family this or something. And then I came up with the Upshaws, and then it just became the Upshaws.
So was there inspiration for, I mean, it's just like.
Oh, you know, I did Crenshaw. The Crenshaws, and then it was like, because that was such an iconic Los Angeles street, we didn't want to do it.
Right.
So I don't know how I found the Upshaws. But
oh, that's pretty cool. I'm always fascinated by how names, you know, come up and how people think of things. And there's always a story behind, you know, the name of a show or a song or something like that. So I was just, so you got the Upshaws and it's been real successful. I just saw, I think something pop up on Netflix that is the like the most watched over, you know, like multiple times by folks. So that's pretty cool. I never seen that.
Congratulations,
before on
the
show
right?
on Netflix. That's, you know, to see that, I was like, when I took a screenshot of it, and you know,
I know I posted it on my Instagram. So.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. So one of the things we've been talking about is just about women doing great things. And of course, you're so celebrated and talented and doing all the things you're doing in Hollywood. But it didn't start out like that, right? I mean, you've been talking a lot about when we were together, kind of reminiscing about how it all got started, particularly when we were like riding down that road and you were working. Oh, I used to work there as a receptionist. And so how did it all start? You don't have to go back to, you know, I grew up a, you know,
right.
A poor black child. Like Steve Martin, right?
Right. It's like, why does your beginning sound a lot like the jerk?
Right.
No, I mean, but it's kind of true because that's all I talked about even growing up.
Yeah.
Working at television, I don't know if you remember, but I was pretty single-minded in what I wanted to do. Not write, but definitely work in Hollywood, work, you know, live in Los Angeles. I was mesmerized by everything California, but I got caught up in bulldog fever. I went to UGA.
Yeah, right.
But I had been talking, I've been looking at Pepperdine and those things, but also we didn't have Pepperdine money. So I'd worked at summer camps out in California because I just wanted to go. But yeah, it was, you know, obviously up and down, and it helped because we always said, you know, opportunity meets preparedness. And I mean, when the opportunity presented itself, I had definitely had scripts. Mm-hmm. When someone said, oh, let me read something, I know an agent, I had scripts to show. Mm-hmm. So things like that. When somebody, you know, when the agent's like, this show's looking for something, I had scripts to, you know, show. We call them spec scripts. And they were scripts based on a TV show that was already on the air. And so I was always writing. I mean, I came to California with even a bunch of Facts of Life scripts.
Did you show any of those to Kim?
I don't know. I still have them, but I've never shown them.
Say, can you read the Tootie part for me? No, just,
I know. Because I watched, like, I think it was on like 8, 9, 10, something like that. But I watched every season. But yeah, so whenever there was a script, and you know, I always had a script because I've definitely had writers come and say, you know, we want to write or something. And then you're like, is there anything I can read? And you're like, well, no.
Right. But I want to be a writer.
Yeah. But I had, we called it a trunk full of scripts. And whenever I had downtime, I'd just write another spec script. I'm like, oh, I like that show. I'll write that. You know, Everybody Loves Raymond, or I wrote an Ellen, or I wrote a Cosby. I wrote a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Designing Women. Whatever I liked, I wrote.
Right. Right.
So.
And the story about you're working at the camp and how you got your, there was a person that was at the camp. And said to her mom, who was working on World. How did it happen?
Well, I was at a summer camp up in Griffith Park, which was really close to Hollywood, because when I'd come out after high school, I worked at a camp up in Big Bear, and that was way too far away. I had underestimated the distance to the city. So this time when I came out after college, I made sure the camp was close enough to get to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And so my plan was that the days off, I was going to go send resumes in at the studios. I really didn't know how it worked, but I was willing to, what I said, even, you know, sweep floors in a soundstage or whatever. And what happens is when you start working at a camp and the summer goes on, you found other stuff to do on your days off. I'm like, well, people going out to eat and going to movies, I won't do that.
Right.
I dropped off a few resumes in the beginning and then I just started living life. And then when the camp was over, I was like,
I gotta get a job. Right?
So our parents were like, you know, I guess you're coming home because I didn't have anything. So I was planning to stay another week. And one of the girls at camp was like, oh, you can stay at my house. Because I've known her from the earlier camp back when I was, you know, out of high school.
Okay.
Right. So I was staying with her on weekends. So after camp, I just went to her house. And I know her parents were like, I thought we agreed on like the weekend. She just sitting there. So we had like a staff party. So before camp was over, the last week, this camper kept talking about her mom worked on A Different World, which is that new Cosby spinoff. And we were like, Sasha, you say all kinds of things, whatever. And so she was like, no, she works. She's associate producer. So when her mom came to pick her up, I sidled over like, hey.
Right.
So I just said that I was out of Georgia looking for a job in TV and, you know, whatever. She told me good luck, took her girl and went on down the hill. So I literally turned to the camp director and I was like, there goes my future, like that. She was like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I didn't really tell her anything. And there she's walking down the hill. And she was like, are you kidding me? So we went into the infirmary and she got the girl's health information. And she was like, here's her mother's work number.
It's like so much for HIPAA.
Right.
We didn't have HIPAA.
Right back then, right.
And she was like, call her on Monday. I was like, okay. So I took the number, put it in my jeans pocket. So I believe Sunday was the rap party. Because I have a I think Monday I was hungover from the rap party. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, I had an interview at a temp agency in Beverly Hills, but I got lost. I couldn't find it. So I cried all the way back to her house.
Oh, no.
And then Wednesday, I went to Northridge, which is the college in the Valley, and walked around looking at the jobs wall and reminiscing about college.
Yeah, that's always a good way to just kind of like,
I remember when I was in college. Yeah. It was like, I didn't think about anything. Thursday, I just sat around with her sister, her stepsister at her house, watching TV. And I think this is really when her parents were probably like, every time we come home, she's just sitting here. And then Friday, it was just me and the stepsister, and I dug that number out of my pants pocket. I was like, okay, well, nothing's happening on this other end. So I wrote a speech that I was going to say on the phone that ended with, and was wondering if you knew of any avenues I might follow. So I called her up. They went and got her, and I was like, oh, my God. They went, and they said she was on the stage, but hang on. I was like, I'll be getting this woman off the stage. So she got on the phone. I read my speech. And there was a pause, and she said,
how'd you get my number? No. Is that what she said? No.
She said, are you asking for a job? And I went, yeah. And she was like, oh, well, send in your resume and then, you know, come in next week to interview. So, of course, I got that phone where I was running around. The friend's stepsister was running around after me, and we were, like, jumping up and down. So I sent him my resume, and sure enough, I went and interviewed like the following Wednesday. And I think the show aired on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So I started the next day, and the show premiered the next day, and I went to the premiere party.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's too cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what happened.
And the rest is I mean, it's, you know, you
it's up and down.
Up and, yeah. Right. It's up and down. And but I was interested. Because you ended that letter, your speech, with what was it again? What did you
know of any opportunities that I might follow?
Right.
avenues that I might follow.
Avenues. So now you can kind of turn that around, right? And what if you got someone that called you with that speech and they say, what avenues? What would you tell them?
Oh, goodness.
That was a nice segue right there.
Yeah, I am the king of segues, by the way.
Because the next question was you know, is there what advice would you give an aspiring comedic writers? And I was going to try to ask that, but then you just smoothly.
I'm sorry.
That was good. I love it.
I said writing. I think I was like, you know, I think anything.
Yeah.
And she was like, they were moving. So they were packing up and moving to Universal. And so I think they needed PAs. So I really called at an opportune time when they were needed PAs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I've just recently graduated from University of Georgia, you know. So, and then when I met with the guy his name is Pat Kinlan, who now works on The Neighborhood. He's the line producer on The Neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, this is my first time in this job, so this is my first interview. So I guess, when can you start?
Oh, that's great.
So it was like a lot of things fell into place. But yeah, it was really just they needed people, and mm-hmm. I happened to call mm-hmm. at the right time. But yeah, if somebody called me with that same speech, and if we needed people, I would definitely say, we're interviewing, come in, just like
right,
she did.
Right, right, right. But if you weren't and you just wanted to give some great advice, what would it?
You know, just... Don't be my biggest thing when I speak to crowd, you know, to people is to have, you know, as far as the opportunity. Because once I got on that show and somebody did say, my kids go to, you know, nursery school or go to kindergarten with this agent, is there something I can read? Because I'll read it. If I like it, I'll pass it along.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had I not had anything, that would have been a missed opportunity because that's how I got my first agent. That's how I got my first job.
Right.
But so I would always say have something, if that's what you want to do, have something ready.
Stay always, ready so you don't have to get ready.
Mm. Right. Because you have people like, oh, get something over the weekend and it's never going to be your best work.
Right.
But yeah, it was probably like 2 years I was a PA before somebody said, and I kept trying to like get on that show, but apparently when they know you as one thing,
yeah, it's hard to try
to be something else. Mm-hmm. So I had resigned to the fact that I wasn't going to write on that show. But at the time, actually, I almost got an opportunity to work on the Cosby Show, but I chose not to go because I got something in town.
Right. So, right. And that might have been, you know, a good thing anyway.
Cosby was also, you know, the end.
Yeah.
I chose to stay in town.
And with everything else around Cosby,
I didn't want to go to New York.
We're just going to stick with Jell-O right now. We're not going down that road.
But there was, you know, there was a moment even after that, you know, first show, it was like, it was kind of like nothing was happening. But then I wrote another script and I sent it to somebody else's agent. And then like the minute, like I would say a week of when she got the material and signed me, she found something for me. So,
and you were still working on A Different World. Right.
Oh no! By this time, I had moved. I left it for World.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to ask, how did you say? I'm out of here. Peace.
I was a receptionist again because I worked on a show and I left, and they were like, you know, go with, and it was fine. And then, of course, you weren't working, and I was a receptionist again. Mm. And my agent just wasn't. I mean, by this time, my agent was like, did I have copies of my script? So I was like, aren't y'all supposed to?
Yeah, right.
And I realized that I needed to change.
Yeah.
He wasn't really doing anything. So when I changed agents, like I said, within a week, she had, you know, sister. So.
Gotcha.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Once I got on sister, it was like there were dry times after Girlfriends, but I had like, you know, script here, script there.
Right. And Girlfriends was like 7 years, right? I mean, it was the longest at the time. Eight. Yeah. Longest running black sitcom in history.
Yeah, still hits to this day. So
yeah, but there were times definitely after that stopped in 07, and I worked on a couple of shows and did some freelance, but I did not really get on another consistent show till like 2013.
Oh wow! So that was 6 years, and then you had the strike too. The Girlfriends kind of ended abruptly, right? Because of the strike, you didn't really get to finish it.
The strike went till 08 and 09. It was in New York with Sherry Shepherd. And 2011, I had a 13 episode show. So it was like kind of in, you know, we did a couple of Disney movies. So it was like stuff we were doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I'd get like, you know, a freelance on this show, a freelance on that show. So I was still writing and working, but it wasn't until Instamom that I got back into the groove.
Right. Well, we're so proud of you and we always just, you know, just talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, here to support you and, you know, make sure people are tuning in to what you got going on and supporting you from afar. And, you know, yeah, like we love seeing you do what you do and what you love to do and what you're so good at. So,
and we're just so proud of you. So it's just a lot of fun. Armand, do you have the final question? Because we got
I'll let you do
the final question.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So if you're able to tell us what's in the works right now, like what do you, you know, I mean, if there's anything besides the Upshaws, you know, spoilers.
I'm finishing up a movie based on a kid's book.
Okay.
Working on the Sister Friends, which are a pilot for Higher Ground, which is Obama's company.
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
All right.
That's my president.
Right.
Yes. That is your president. Right?
Same. So that's really what I'm doing right now.
Okay. All right. Well, we're excited to see, you know, to learn more about that and hopefully, you know, see everything come to fruition. So.
Oh, same.
Yeah. Can we talk about the deal? You know, you have a deal with Netflix, right? I mean, that's.
So all these things are under the Netflix. The movie is not under the Netflix umbrella, but the Sister Friends show is under the Netflix umbrella.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
And I hope to be pitching, you know, more to them in the future.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, everything has to go to them first because I do have a deal.
Right. Well, we thank you so much. And anything else you want to shout out or say anything before we, you know?
No, we just love your show.
So,
thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It is our pleasure.
Right. I always say that. Right. No, really. And this is your second time. We've had you on before. So it's nice to catch up and to celebrate you as we celebrate Women's History Month. So you got to come back on. Maybe we come back on. We can talk about the new production and you can tell us how it's like to work with the Obamas. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I hope to be talking about that soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to, tell Michelle what's that.
Nah. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Tell my boy Barack.
Yeah. Barack, you the man,
Yeah, so, man. Four more years. Make it happen, please. We need you.
Come out of retirement.
Please.
Michelle, I know you said you'd never run, but
right.
Yeah. Michelle, come on.
Yeah,
come
somebody, on. Yeah. Sasha, somebody.
Malia, please.
But thank you, Regina, and we'll be back. Okay. We'll have you back on Boomer and the Millennial,
Okay.
Yeah, my absolutely. God. Come on.
All right.
Well, that was, like you said, my aunt, your sister, Regina Hicks, and we got to learn a lot about her and about the Upshaws, and you guys definitely have to check it out when the new episodes drop. And if you've never seen the show before, definitely check it out. It's hilarious.
Oh,
watch the old episodes, and that way you can get ready for the new ones. But just shout out to Aunt Regina for joining us, and especially as we celebrate Women's History Month. Yeah, she's creating history, so pretty legit.
Absolutely.
And speaking of legit things, I don't know. We're just going to move into sports.
Well, that's legit.
Yeah. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Hey, good boy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to.
I know you're trying to make that trend.
That's not my thing. That's you. That's all you, But yeah, what we got going on for sports? Well, baseball's, Yeah.
The Braves. I mean,
Yeah,
look, baseball's 100.
Good, during the offseason.
Baseball's 160 games.
We got a long season ahead of us.
And here's the thing. The last 2 years, you have a great season. Last year was a great season for the Braves, and they just lost it during the playoffs. So, you know, my thing is I'm a little tempered for the season. Hopefully you got enough talent to be in first place or get into the playoffs and just win. I mean, I'm just going to kind of wait till September, see where we are. I'll watch a game here and there, but
when they come to play the Colorado Rockies, cause we're literally down the street.
Oh,
from
you gotta go. Yeah.
Coors Field.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to go. Nia and I are going to go. So,
yeah. And I think that's so cool. Any stadium named after a beer, I think is
It's and like, it's cool because apparently you can see the mountains from the stands.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's a nice view. However, speaking of that, I think I just saw that the Pittsburgh Pirates, their stadium was ranked the best stadium in the country.
Oh, really?
Because of the view and stuff. You see like the city.
Yeah, I think
everything.
They have the river. I think you can actually hit a ball in the river or something. I don't know. Or one of them. I know you can hit a ball in the river.
Well, yeah, I think that's in San Francisco. But
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in Pittsburgh as well. But yeah, I saw it and I'm like, that's a beautiful view. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how the season goes. But it's
springtime.
Yeah,
yeah. First day of spring was just this past week. So that means baseball. It also means March Madness.
Yeah. Have you been keeping up with it?
Well, actually, I have because for the first time in a long time, I actually filled out bracket.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Who you got going all the way? What? Dang. Yeah. You should have told me. I would have done one.
Well, but here's the thing. I was at the Cap One Cafe in the mall, and they had the thing where, Capital One and March Madness, NCAA.
Right, they do a lot of commercials and stuff.
And they have the brackets.
Sponsorship,
And so I just downloaded the app and I signed up. And this was like a couple of weeks ago. And then they said, it's time for you to make your selections. I was like, okay, I'll do it.
Who you got and going all the way, though?
I got Purdue. Yeah.
Nah, man.
Yeah, I mean.
Look, because I have YouTube TV, I got the split screen. So I could have like three, four games playing at the same time. And then you can hone in on each one if you want, but like you can watch all four at the same time. It's amazing. And I've been watching all these games for the women's tournament and the men's tournament. If you saw that Oakland and Kentucky game.
Oh yeah, that went in a double over. That's the one that went in a double overtime.
I'm not even sure.
Was that last night? Yeah.
No, that was the one. That was the one where this one guy, he kept hitting threes. Like he hit like nine or more threes. Yeah, the dude that
Kentucky lost. I mean that messed up my brackets.
Yeah, it messed up everybody's bracket. I know.
But now on this app, you can watch all the games.
That's cool.
Live. They keep you up with the.
Like what's
with all
going
the scores on. And yeah. They update your bracket. So, yeah. You know,
listen, I'm telling you, the women's tournament is heating up. Like I watched some games yesterday. I watched the Syracuse game, the point guard for Syracuse. She dropped like 30 plus points. Like she's like 5'6" or something like that. She's like small, but she was hooping. I couldn't believe it. Look, Iowa, Caitlin Clark, you know, you also got LSU and of course Juju at USC. This March Madness, I'm actually invested. Usually I don't care.
I don't either, but once you do your brackets, it's pretty cool. But I've got
Purdue, but you got Purdue winning.
I got Purdue going all the way.
I watched the way they hooped, and I was like, yo, this squad is dangerous.
Yeah, but you know, Purdue got two big guys. I mean, yeah, they got a guy that's like 7'7".
I know, but so does Gonzaga, though. That's the thing.
You know, we'll see.
We'll see.
I will say the surprise team that I picked that I just happened to see a little bit of in the ACC tournament, because they went on to win the ACC tournament. That's how they got in. To the tournament was NC State. I had them winning. They are now part of the Sweet 16.
North Carolina State.
They're
big man. He's the big dude, right, with the dreads.
Yeah.
Oof, I've never been so excited for March Madness. This is crazy.
Yeah, and it's a lot different when you do brackets. So anyway,
that's true.
I got Purdue, and you've got Gonzaga going on.
Yeah.
Way, huh?
Well, okay, we'll see what happens. We'll see. I just think we'll see.
Any update on Formula One? I haven't been watching.
The Australian Grand Prix was last night, but I think it was at midnight your time, 10 p.m. my time, and I did not watch a lick of it. When I looked at who won and everything, and I saw that a Red Bull was not in the top four.
What?
And Max Verstappen's name was all the way at the bottom.
What? He must have read.
Turns out they had a new power system and one of the brakes caught on fire and they had to retire the car. Now, unfortunately, I didn't see why, but Hamilton also had to retire from the race as well. So unfortunately, it's sort of like, dang, why can't we just have Max Verstappen not being first, you know, Lewis Hamilton like really be up there. But yeah, I don't know why. I didn't watch any of the highlights, but
who won? So, who won?
Carlos Sainz, actually, for Ferrari. I think it was like a Ferrari and Lando Norris might have been second or third for McLaren. Yeah, I think it was like the two Ferraris were in, you know, within the top three and then Lando. So yeah, disappointing, but you know, on to the next one, I guess.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And what's not disappointing is our predicting the Oscar winner, Oppenheimer.
Oh yeah,
best picture.
Yep.
Yeah, and just on a side note, today in Black History, we're talking about the Oscars. This is the day that Halle Berry wins the Oscar for Best Actress.
Yeah,
and Monster Ball.
Yeah, that was a weird. That was a weird role. It's a weird. It's an interesting movie. But
every time we get a best actor or actress,
yeah, it's always like
some
weird, right?
You know, like Training Day for Denzel.
Yeah, but that was just because he was the villain. But he played the mess out of that role, though.
Yeah, he did. But you know,
you I'm think you can do this to me?
Right.
Yeah.
King Kong got nothing
on me. Right, exactly. Come out. Where has my little Jake gone? Where can he be?
But the thing is, he wasn't nominated for Malcolm X, which I thought he did a wonderful job. So anyway, That's just me, you know, just a little comfortable. But anyway,
the snow is coming down, man.
I can't.
It's either that or it's like half snow, half rain right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what they said on Channel 7 because I've been watching.
Yeah. It'll turn into snow, though, but it should stop around midnight. So that's not too bad.
Okay. Well, keep us abreast of what's happening. So Love is Blind, what we're watching.
Yeah, you know? I saw the finale, the reunion.
You did you? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was crazy. Oh, I will say this. You know what? I'm off of Love is Blind, like it's over, whatever. I'm starting to find out more stuff about some of the characters actually now, like AD. Apparently AD got a sugar daddy. Crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's not a real estate agent at all. She got a sugar daddy.
What?
Who confronted Clay and one of Clay's best men outside the club talking about, I'm still involved with her, so leave her alone, all this other stuff. It's crazy, apparently. But I know. That's
See,
why
all
Clay
the backstory.
Exactly.
All the backstories happen on social media, which I don't get. I mean,
that's why
I'm
Clay
not
was
into.
Like, worried about her finances. He didn't understand her finances. So there you go. A new show that I am watching on Apple TV is Manhunt.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It's good.
But I refuse to get into another series on Apple TV because unbeknownst to me, but because I had that trial. Uh-huh. And then when the trial was over, I was like, okay, I'll keep it for another month. And they billed me like for $37 because it was like all this stuff bundled and I didn't want all of that. So at the end of this month, I'm done. I have one show. I saw Manhunt. I was like, wow, this looks good. I said, but I don't want to get caught up in that. They're dropping shows once a week.
Yeah,
I got to go.
Yeah.
They
dropped the
first
two.
I got another 2 months.
I got to watch the third episode. It's good, though. It is really good. It's pretty good.
The Bachelor finale is coming up, and they've got the finale, I think, is next week. So I'm looking forward to that. And got to meet Sandra from the Golden Bachelor. I was
Tell
goodness.
Us about that real quick.
Oh, man, let me tell you. It was like, we were in Lenox Mall, and I was in Macy's, and I was like, your mom was doing something, and I was heading somewhere, probably heading out to the Capital One Cafe, because that's where I hang out while she's in the mall. And I saw this person pass me by, and I was like, I know that person, but I know a lot of people, but I'm not good at names. I'm like, she looks real familiar. And she looked at me like, I know you. And I felt awkward. I was like, well, I don't want to not acknowledge the person if I know them. Right.
So
I stopped and I said, I know you from somewhere. And she said, yes. Could it be the Golden Bachelor? And I was like, that's where it is. I was like, oh my goodness.
That's crazy.
You're Sandra from the Golden Bachelor. And she, you know, she was so gracious, so nice. We took pictures. We exchanged phone numbers. So your mom and I, we text her all the time when the show comes on. Because
Are you
she,
serious?
Well, yeah, because, you know, she has been on the show on the Bachelor giving advice to some of the women on the show. It's like three of them from the Golden Bachelor are like these wise sages, you know, that are coming to give advice. And she's one of them. Matter of fact, she was in Macy's to get a dress because she was heading to do a taping. And I told her that, you know, we got to get her on the show to talk about the Golden Bachelor. Once the Bachelor's over, she already knows the outcome. You know, she's on NDA, she can't say anything. And I would never ask because I told her, I said, I know. That's why I never.
Yeah, you want to watch it.
Yeah, I want to watch it anyway. But I think we can get her. I'm sure she'll be happy to join us on the show. On the podcast. We could talk about.
Yeah.
I never had anybody on the inside of the Bachelor Nation, so it was really kind of cool.
You're just so excited.
Great. Yeah, yeah. And the fact that, you know, she's very nice. We text her, "How you doing?" You know, she was out in L.A. and she texts us, "Oh, this happened." Da 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 da. And so she talked about her experience on the Golden Bachelor. And you know, she was older than the Golden Bachelor and she looked younger than everybody else on that show.
Well, you know,
which goes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Black don't crack.
Okay. Come on.
That's right. So, anything else you're watching?
No,
you've been busy,
really.
You know, cause you've got a new, you know, you've been promoted.
Yeah.
How's that coming?
It's cool, but I've had the last 4 days off, so I wouldn't necessarily say I've been busy, but I've been writing and working on some stuff, but it's going good. I'm getting the hang of it. So,
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
Cool. Cool. Well, I will say, well, congratulations, by the way, for the, I know we talked about it last month, but on the promotion is, you know, at your store.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so you got a crew, you got to kind of supervise and stay on top of them and crack that whip, man. Make them work. It's like, oh no, here comes Armandi. Make that latte. Da, 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 da.
That's crazy. Never that.
Yeah, I know.
That's hilarious.
I know. So anyway, I want to thank Regina for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being a part of the show again. It's not a first time on Boomer and the Millennial. So we want to thank her as we celebrate Women's History Month. Thank everybody for tuning in. Please share and like and subscribe wherever you're listening to, whatever platform. We love it. We thank you for being there with us and for us. We want to thank the Dangerfield newbies.
Yeah.
Newbies. It's for their intro and outro music. Well, we do have a couple of questions from some of our loyal listeners. Sarah from Atlanta wants to know real quickly, who comes up with the topics for the show? Me.
Yeah, primarily you, but I mean, sometimes I add stuff. It just depends.
Yeah. I try to start the outline. We have an outline that we work from for each show, and then you take a look at it and refine it, and we kind of work from there as we go along. Terry from Birmingham, shout out to Birmingham. Is that England? No, I think it's Alabama. But you both seem pretty congenial on the show. Do you ever disagree? Yeah, I think so. Do we? Yeah, sometimes. We disagree on March Madness.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
One thing on this show we disagree on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, a lot of times we do disagree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have different points of view.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like disagreeing. Maybe we should agree and disagree more. And then, you know,
I don't know. But we also think alike because you're my dad. So I would assume that like
true.
Yeah, we're true. Somewhat like-minded individuals.
I would think so. You've got some of my DNA. So
yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it's just a not necessarily disagreement, but we have some things different points because we have different life experiences and of course, you know, I'm a lot older.
The older I get, the less I disagree with you. How about
that? Yeah. Well, you're actually watching the local news, so that's something.
Exactly. You know. I'm becoming you.
I'm telling you, the older
I get, it's ridiculous.
You're becoming more of that progressive insurance commercial. More like you.
Right. Exactly.
So, but no.
Okay, but those are the only two questions?
Well, yeah. I mean,
there are more,
but I just took the. Yeah.
Okay, so
Sarah,
that's fine.
Sarah,
no,
Terry,
look, we
got to
spread them out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like we got to get new ones, so we got to spread them out.
Yeah, you know, not
like
we get tens
of thousands. Like, how about, you know what? Like, also. Aside from having questions, also if you want us to talk about certain topics on the show, like what do you want to hear us talk about? You know what I mean? Like, let us know and we'll add it to the outline.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, give us something new to talk about. Yeah. I mean, like a lot of times we kind of cover some of the same things, and if you're tired of hearing that, which you shouldn't be because we're hilarious, but give us new topics then, you know, and we'll try them out and we'll talk about them and shout you out. Whatnot. So
right, and you can do that by going to the website at boomerandthemillennial.com. Hear past programs all the way back from the beginning. It's really cool to kind of listen to when we first got started, almost over 3 years ago. Just about 3 years ago.
I mean,
we started actually this month 3 years ago, right?
During the pandemic.
Yeah. So it's really nice to go back and hear some of the older shows and. Where we've come to. You weren't married then.
No. A lot has changed.
A lot of things. We used to do it. You were staying with us, so we used to do it right here on the island in the kitchen. Now we have to do it virtually because you're married, Denver, and the whole nine yards. So
yeah.
Things change. Great show. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Weekend.
Yep.
And to all of you, I hope you had a great March and celebrating
Women's History Month.
Women's History Month, and of course St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And the many other whatever things are happening.
A lot of stuff
in
happening in March.
Yeah. March madness and everything.
Right, exactly.
Else.
I was just getting ready to say that.
So until next time, we thank you for listening. I am Reggie the Boomer.
And you know that I am Armandi the Millennial, and we are out.
Peace.
Peace.